Shalom and welcome to Rambam Yomi. This is Rabbi Mati Novik. Join me as we learn the Rambam's Mishneh Torah, one perek each day. Today we'll be learning Hilchot Brachot, Perek Dalet. Most of this perek deals with situations in which a person is either exempt from a bracha or needs to repeat a bracha he already made. The concept underlying these situations is that of kvi'ut. This is the idea that an act of eating, which is not merely a snack, should be seen in a broader context, linking it to the specific location where it takes place, and possibly to other foods eaten at the same time. This sounds pretty vague, but the perek begins with a basic practical ramification of this concept of kviut. Halacha Aleph. Hol ha-mevarech birkat mazon, o bracha achat shme'ein shalosh, tzarich levarech ota b'makom she'achal. Achal keshu ma'alech, yoshev b'makom she'pasak vivarech. Achal keshu omed, yoshev b'mkomo vivarech. Shachach birkat amazon v'nizkar kodem shitakel amazon, mevarech b'makom shenizkar. V'im haya mezid, chozer d'mkomo umvarech. V'im beirech b'makom shenizkar, yitza yidei chovato. V'chein im beirech keshu omed o keshu mealech, yatza yidei chovato. Birkat amazon and me'ein shalosh should ideally be said sitting down in the place where one ate, even if he ate while standing up or while walking, in which case he should sit to say the bracha where he finished eating. The reason is that eating these satiating foods establishes a kvi'ut in the place where they are eaten. And so the bracha which ends that act of eating should be in the same location. This is not the case for other foods like fruits and vegetables or even fish and meat, as we'll discuss when we get to halacha hei. Even for birkat hamazon and me'ein shalosh, this preference for saying the bracha sitting where he ate is only lechatchila, and the person is yotze even if he says the bracha while standing or walking. If someone left his location, accidentally forgetting to say birkat hamazon or alamechia first, then he can say this wherever he remembers, assuming he remembers while he can still say it, that is, before the food is digested. If he left his location knowing that he didn't yet say the bracha after eating, then he must go back there in order to do so. But he is yotzei b'dieved even if he said it somewhere else. In Halacha Bet, the Rambam says that one who forgets to make hamotzi must do so when he remembers, as long as he is still eating. But he cannot say this bracha if he remembers only after completing his meal. If he is in doubt whether or not he said hamotzi, then he does not repeat the bracha, as it is only midrabanan and safek drabanan lekula. Halacha Gimel. Haya ochel bevayit zeh, ufasak sudato vehalach levayit acher, o shaya ochel vekaralo chavero ledaber imo, viatzalo lefetach beto vechazar, ho'il v'shina mekomo, tzarich levarech lemafreya al ma she'achal, vechozer umvarech katchila hamotzi, v'acharkach gomer sudato. Someone who leaves in the middle of a bread meal to go outside his house, or even to speak to someone just outside the door of his house, must say Birkat Hamazon when he comes back and make a new bracha of Hamotzi on the continuation of his meal. The reason for this is that Shinui Makom, a change of location, breaks the kvi'ut established when he first sat down to eat. And so when he comes back, it is like starting a new meal. He must finish the first meal by saying Birkat Hamazon and only then begin a new one with another Hamotzi. The Shulchan Aruch accepts the psak of the Rambam, but the Ramah, following Tosfot and the Rosh, understands that upon returning, he does not need to say Birkat HaMazon on what he already ate, as this can be covered by the Birkat HaMazon he will be saying later after completing the remainder of his meal. Rather, he needs only to repeat Hamotzi before eating the rest of his meal. The Ramah argues on this psak of the Rambam in another point as well, which we'll discuss after reading Halacha Hei. The Ravid takes issue with the Rambam's inclusion as an example of Shinui Makom of the case of someone who speaks to a friend outside his door. According to the Ravid, the concept of Shinui Makom only applies if the person leaves his house completely and can no longer see the spot where he ate. Halacha Dalet. Chavirim shayu yoshvin lechol v'yatzu likrat chatan o likrat kala. Im hinichu sham zaken ochole, chozrin limkoman v'gomrin sudatan, ve'inan tzrichin levarech shnia. Ve'im lo hinichu sham adam, kishehen yotzin tzrichin bracha l'mafreya, v'kishehen chozrin tzrichin bracha l'chatchila. An exception to the din of shinui makom is when one person stays behind while everyone else goes out. The person staying behind maintains the kvi'ut that was established by the group, and so when they return to continue eating, they may do so without making a new bracha, as if they had never left. Halacha hei. V'chein im hayu mesubin lishtia o lachilat perot. Shekola mishanem mekomo, hari pasak achilato. Ulfichach mevarech lemafreya al sheachal, v'chozer umvarech shnia lechatchila al mashu tzarich lechol. V'hameshanem mekomo mipina lepina bevayit echad, eino tzarich lechzor ulvarech. Achal b'mizracha shel teina uva lechol b'marava, tzarich lechzor ulvarech. The din of shinui makom applies not only to a bread meal, but also to situations like drinking wine or eating fruit. There is a debate in the Gemara in Pesachim about which foods are included in the din of shinui makom. Rav Sheshet believes that this din applies across the board to all types of food. Anyone who leaves his place in the middle of eating must make a new bracha when he returns, which for the Rambam, unlike Tosfot and the Rosh, as we mentioned, includes first making bracha achrona on what he already ate. The Rif accepts the opinion of Rav Sheshet, and this is the psak of the Rambam here and earlier in Halacha Gimel. But Rav Chista disagrees in the Gemara, and thinks that the din of shinui makom applies only to foods like drinks and fruit, and not to a bread meal, or even mizonot foods made from the five types of grain. The reason for this distinction is what we saw in Halacha Aleph. Birkat HaMazon and the Me'ein Shalosh on foods made from grain must be said in the place where one ate, because of the kviut established by these foods. So even if someone leaves his location while eating these foods, he is required to come back in order to say the appropriate bracha after eating. And therefore the kviut is preserved, and he can continue to eat based on the brachot he made earlier. But drinks and foods like fruit and vegetables do not establish a kviut, and one who leaves without making a bracha achrona can say this bracha elsewhere and never needs to return to his original location. Therefore, shinui makom is significant, and when he comes back and wishes to eat more, this requires a new bracha rishona. This again is the view of Rav Chista, which is accepted as halacha by Tosfot and the Rosh, and in their wake by the Rama. Thus, shinui makom has different parameters for Ashkenazim and Sfardim, and the roots of this debate are divergent opinions in the Gemara about the scope of this din. We also mentioned that though we have spoken of fruit in general as a category of foods in which there is no requirement to say a bracha achrona where one ate, the Shulchan Aruch rules that this is not the case for fruit belonging to the Shivat HaMinim, like grapes, figs, and dates. We'll see in Perek Chet that after eating these fruit, one makes a Me'ein Shalosh just like after Mizonot foods. And this may indicate that they establish a Kviut unlike other fruits like apples and pears. According to this view, the din of Shinui Makom would not apply to fruit of the Shivat HaMinim, according to the Tosfot and Rosh, who limit this din to foods which don't require Bracha Achrona where one ate. At the end of this halacha, the Rambam says that even if one eats on one side of a fig tree and then moves to the other side of the tree, this is considered shinui makom. The Ravid adds, based on the Yerushalmi, which is the source of this case, that if the person had in mind when he began to eat that he plans to move to the other side of the tree, then this isn't considered shinui makom. Based on this idea that a person's intent can limit the definition of shinui makom, the Rama rules that while leaving the house where one ate is always considered shinui makom, if one had in mind when he began to eat that he plans to move from one room to another within the house, this is not considered shinui makom. But without such intent, moving from room to room would be shinui makom. The Bir Halacha quotes other poskim who feel that moving from room to room within one house is equivalent to moving from corner to corner within one room, and is never considered shinui makom. Halacha Vav is an example of a more general principle we'll see in Halacha Yod Aleph, so we proceed now to Halacha Zayin. Gamar b'libo milechol o milishtot, v'achar kach nimlach lechol v'lishtot, afa b'shalosh shina mekomo, chozer umvarech. V'im lo gamar b'libo, ela dato lachzor v'lishtot o lechol, afilu pasak kol hayom kulo, eino tzarich levarech shnia. After someone makes a bracha, he may continue all day to eat based on that bracha if there was no shinui makom, and he never decided to stop eating. However, if he does decide to stop, even just in thought, without action, and then changes his mind and wants to eat again, he must make a new bracha even though there was no shinui makom. This is the concept of hesech hadat, and unlike regarding shinui makom, the Rambam here requires only a new bracha rishona, and not bracha achrona on what was already eaten. He evidently understands that shinui makom is more definitive a conclusion of the act of eating than hesech hadat. The Ravid thinks that just thinking to stop isn't considered a hesech hadat, except in the case of drinks. But hesech hadat during eating requires a verbal statement or an action like sleeping or washing my machronim, as we'll see in Perek Vav. The Shulchan Aruch does not mention that just thinking is enough to require a new bracha, neither with regard to eating nor with regard to drinking. Halacha chet. Hayu shotin ve'amru bo'u unvarech birkat mazon. O bo'u nekadesh kiddush hayom, nesar lehem lishtot ad shivarchu o yikadshu. Vimratzu lachzor v'lishtot kodem shivarchu o yikadshu, af api shenan mishain, tzrichin lachzor ulvarech borei pri hagefen tchila. V'achar kach yishtu. Aval im amru bo'u v'navdil, ein tzrichin lachzor ulvarech. If a group of people was drinking wine, and at one point one says, with no objection from the others, let's save your kat mazon, or, if it's Friday evening, let's make Kiddush. Then they are not permitted to drink anymore until saying Birkat Mazon or Kiddush. If they do drink in violation of this Isser, then they must make a new Borei Pri HaGefen first. Does the same apply to eating, or are these statements only considered a Hesech Hadat when it comes to the less significant act of drinking? The Shulchan Aruch quotes a machloket Rishonim on this point, and the Mishnah Berura rules the Chumrah in accordance with Yerush, who says that the same applies to eating. The Shulchan Aruch also mentions nothing about a prohibition to continue drinking after these statements, only the second half of the Rambam's psak, that any further drinking requires a new bracha of Borei Pri HaGefen. At the end of the halacha, the Rambam says that if this occurs at Sudash Lishit, at the end of Shabbat, and someone says, let's make Havdalah, this is not considered a Hesech Hadat, and they may continue drinking without a new bracha. The Ravid thinks that the Rambam understood incorrectly the conclusion of the Gemara about the cases of Kiddush and Havdalah, and he is more machmir than the Rambam in both cases. Saying, let's make Havdalah, is considered a Hesech Hadat at the end of Shabbat, and when it comes to Kiddush on Friday evening, the onset of Shabbat qualifies as an automatic Hesech Hadat. That is, the group must stop drinking at that point in order to make Kiddush, even if no one says, let's make Kiddush. And if they violate this and drink more before making Kiddush, then they must make a new bracha on this wine. Halacha tet. Hayu misubin lishtot yayin, uvalehen min yayin acher, kegon shayu shotin adom veviu shachor, o yashan veviu chadash, einan tzrichin levarech birkat hayayin pam shnia, avam mevarchin, baruch ata Hashem alokeinu melech haolam, hatov v'hameitiv. If a group of people are drinking wine, and someone brings a different type of wine, then a special bracha of Hatov HaMeitiv is made on this second wine, though not Borei Pri HaGefen. The Shulchan Aruch adds that this is only done if the second wine is of at least as good quality as the first wine, but not if it is of worse quality. The Magen Avram rules that Hatov HaMeitiv is only recited when some of the first wine remains, and one has the option to take from either one. But if the first is finished, then the second is considered just a continuation of the first, and the bracha of Hatov HaMeitiv is not recited. Halacha Yud. Ein mevarchin al ochel mikol haochalim velo al mashke mikol hamashkin ad shevo lefanav. Vim berech v'achar kach heviu lefanav, tzarich lachzor ulvarech. Natal ochel uverech alav, v'nafal miado v'nisraf o shetafo nahar, notel acher v'chozer umvarech alav. Af al pishu meato amin. Vitzarich lomar, Baruch Shem Kvod Machuto leolam, al bracha rishona, kidei shelo lehutzi Shem Shemaim levatala. Omeid adam al amat hamayim, umvarech vishote, af al pish hamayim shayu lefanav bishat abracha, inan hamayim sheshata, mipne shelakach nitchaven mitchila. A bracha on food is considered to apply to food items sitting in front of him at the time of the bracha. This means, firstly, that one shouldn't make a bracha at all until the food is brought in front of him. Any food brought to him after the bracha requires a new bracha, though the Shulchan Aruch rules that this doesn't apply when what is brought to him is just more of the same food, or even a similar food, like if he made a bracha on fruit and later some other type of fruit was brought to him. The Rama rules that if someone has in mind at the time of the bracha that it should cover anything which will be brought to him on which this bracha is said, this stipulation is effective, and he need not make a new bracha. The Rambam himself seems to agree that intent at the time of the bracha is relevant, as he says at the end of the halacha that one can make a bracha while standing over a stream of water and then drink from it, even though the water which was in front of him during the bracha has already flowed downstream. The reason for this, the Rambam explains, is because this is what he intended from the start. In the event that the piece of food on which the bracha was made falls into the river or is burnt up before the person can eat it, then he must make a new bracha on some other piece and say Baruch Shem Kavod Malchuto L'olam Ve'ed as a way of praising Hashem so that the first bracha is not a bracha lebatala. Halacha Yud Aleph. Dvarim haba'im betocha suda vehem machmata suda einan tzrichin bracha lo lifnehem v'lo la'achreihem. Ela birkat hamotzi shebatchila uberkat mamazon shebesof potrin hakol. Shakol tfila lesuda. Udvarim sheinan machmata suda sheba'u betocha suda tunin bracha lifnehem ve'ein tunin bracha la'achreihem. Udvarim haba'im la'achar suda bein machmata suda bein shlo machmata suda tunin bracha lifnehem ula'achreihem. This halacha has three parts. The first is that when someone makes hamotzi and begins a meal, all foods eaten during the meal as part of the meal, excluding desserts, which we'll discuss in a moment, like fish, meat, vegetables, etc., do not require a bracha, as they are exempted by the hamotzi, which is considered a bracha on the meal as a whole, and not only on the bread. Earlier in Halacha Vav, the Rambam mentioned a specific example of this, when bread is eaten together with some kind of topping or other accompanying food called the parperet. The parperet doesn't require a bracha in this case. But here, this halacha is extended even to foods which are not eaten together with the bread, but as part of the meal. The second part of this halacha is that foods which are not part of the meal, but are eaten during the meal, darim she'inam machmata suda, shebao betocha suda, meaning a dessert-type food like fruit or ice cream, requires its own bracha rishona, as the hamotzi doesn't exempt this kind of food because it's not a meal food. But since in practice it's eaten during the meal, it does not require its own bracha achrona, and it's exempted with birkat hamazon. There is a debate among poskim whether this din applies even to desserts which are mezonot, like cake. On the one hand, cake is a dessert and not typically thought of as part of the meal. But on the other hand, it is a satiating food because it is made of grain. And so based on that consideration, it may be considered a part of the meal. The third part of this halakha isn't really relevant in our day. It refers to foods which are eaten after the meal, dvarim haba'im la'achar ha'suda, but before berkat mazon, which require both a bracha rishona and a bracha achrona of their own. This concept only existed when the manner of eating was for everyone to have his own food in front of him with no shared table. And sometimes all food and utensils from the meal were entirely removed and some new food was brought out as a dessert. But in the modern context where we eat with a shared table and bread is typically left on the table through dessert, poskim consider desserts to belong to the second category of dvarim she'inam machmata suda shba'u betocha suda, and not shba'u la'achar suda. The only situation in which this halacha applies nowadays, according to the Bir Halacha, is in a big meal in which not only are all foods which are part of the meal taken away before dessert, but the table itself on which these foods were served is removed, and a new table is brought with dessert foods. The last halacha of the perek discusses another scenario which doesn't exist nowadays, and that is the situation of a meal established not on bread but on wine. We drink wine much less nowadays in general, and certainly never as the main part of a meal. One part of this halacha which is relevant in the modern context is the din that the hamotzi of a bread meal, while it exempts all meal foods, as we saw in Halacha Yud Aleph, and even most drinks, which are considered secondary to food, does not exempt wine. One who drinks wine during a bread meal must make a borei pri hagefen. Though on Shabbat or Yom Tov, when one makes Kiddush first, the hagefen said as part of Kiddush exempts all wine consumed during the meal. According to the Rambam, this hagafen said during the meal must be said by everyone individually and cannot be made by one person on behalf of others, because during the meal it is assumed that people are chewing and swallowing and not everyone has the empty mouth necessary for answering amen. The Ramah, however, rules that one person can make the bracha for everyone and should precede it with the words Savri Rabotai as a way of getting their attention so they will swallow what is in their mouths and wait to say Amen to the bracha before taking anything more to eat. If someone drinks wine outside the context of a meal, the Hagafen on the wine exempts all other drinks in the same way that Hamotzi on bread exempts all other meal foods. The poskim conclude that this is only true if he drinks at least most of a reviat of the wine. If one sets a HaGafen on wine before a meal and plans to eat a meal soon after, the HaGafen he says before the meal exempts any wine that he drinks during the meal. Thank you for joining me in learning today's parak of the Mishnah Torah. If you have any questions, comments, or ideas you'd like to share, I'd be happy to hear from you. Send me an email at mtorahyomi@gmail.com. That's M as in Mishnah, Torah, T-O-R-A-H, Yomi, Y-O-M-I, @gmail.com. Come back tomorrow as we continue with our next parak.